Let us turn our hearts and our minds to God's word in the scriptures this morning. First, from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, the verses that immediately follow the Lord's Prayer. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Then I'm going to take the order a little different. I'm going to read the passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then back to the letter of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Christ. May God bless these words to our hearts, our minds, our living, our doing, and all our being. The passage from Colossians indeed falls under the hymn title, Wonderful Words of Life. There are a lot of wonderful words and images in that passage from the Apostle Paul, especially the blessings that Paul indicates God through the Holy Spirit pours out upon us as individual people of faith, and upon the church as a faith community. Let us never forget that almost all of Paul's letters were written to faith communities, to churches. Paul has a wonderful list of blessings. They are blessings that we need in our lives that Paul says God pours out upon us. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, love, peace, thankful, wisdom, gratitude, giving thanks. And there's lots of other things we could draw out of this passage too, but I want to particularly focus on a couple of the blessings that Paul mentions. Two of them are listed more than once. One's obvious, forgiveness. It's right there. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Right in order, the same word. The other one's not quite so obvious. What's the other one that's listed more than once? Gratitude, and it's listed in different words and in different places. Gratitude, thanksgiving, if you will. Those are important blessings. Forgiveness. We know somehow that God comes in Christ to forgive us. But I think we just mostly kind of tip our hats to that. We may do a prayer of forgiveness in worship once in a while. But mostly we focus on God's love in Jesus. We somehow go through life not feeling too much that we need to be forgiven by God in Christ. And forgive others. Paul says here, if there's a disagreement, forgive. Forgive others. Well, do we need to be forgiven by others again? I'm not sure we come to that point very often. And do we need to forgive others? There, I think, mostly we get angry, we get frustrated. We mumble and grumble and complain and say, I'm gonna get this straightened out in exactly the way I want because I was the one who was wronged. Some years ago, There was someone that I was very frustrated with, someone I should have been close with and thought I had been. But I was mumbling and grumbling in my inner voices and my outer voices saying, I didn't, the communication's bad, I didn't hear about this, I should have heard, I'm upset by this, and I felt very wronged and very pushed aside. And I did a lot of complaining about it, and I said, I'll get this straightened out sometime. And then one night I was reading a book by a Roman Catholic nun named Joyce Rupp. It was a book on ministering with people who were terminally ill. But something that was written on one of those pages made me say to myself, I need to forgive this person. Not the least of which I was beginning to realize that all the mumbling and grumbling was only taking it out on me and it wasn't going anywhere. So I sat there and I prayed, God, help me to forgive so-and-so. Now, I'd like to tell you that we're bosom buddies again. I can't tell you that. We're in touch with each other occasionally by letter or note, less occasionally by phone call, and even less occasionally do we see one another. But something has changed in me. The upsetness, the anger, the frustration, the hurt, the mumbling, the groaning and moaning and complaining are lessened, are gone. I'm glad for the times that we are in touch, however brief they might be. I'm glad there's still some semblance of a relationship there. Paul seems to catch on to this when he writes, if there's a disagreement, forgive. Paul sees that forgiveness is important in renewing, reconciling, healing, and restoring relationships in making them new. And indeed it is. There is a give to forgiveness. We give up in forgiveness what we feel is a legitimate complaint. We are right, the other person's wrong. We give that up for the sake of improving, of restoring, of renewing, of reconciling the relationship. God comes in Jesus Christ and forgives us. God has a legitimate complaint against humanity because we have fallen short of all that God hopes for us, to live in love for God, others, ourselves, the world around us. And we have harmed those relationships. There's no question about it. But God puts the complaint aside and comes to forgive us in Christ. And notice that Paul picks up on what Jesus says. Paul says, as God has forgiven, so we must forgive. Paul sees our forgiving others linked to God's forgiving us. And Jesus says that too, a little differently. If we forgive, God will forgive. If we fail to forgive, God will not forgive. Somehow our forgiving is linked to God's forgiving us in Jesus. Forgiveness made the news a few months ago. There was that horrific shooting in the church in Charleston, South Carolina, when a young man spent an hour or more in a Wednesday evening Bible study prayer group and then pulled out a gun and shot the pastor and 8 others. And was arrested subsequently and is being held for trial. Some of the families of the victims stepped forward after he was caught by the police and said, we forgive this young man. And there were a couple of different responses to that I read in the paper. One from someone whose writing I like. He writes every other Thursday in The Current. And he always gives me something to think about. But this time he said, yes, there's a place for forgiveness, but this forgiveness came too soon. Someone else writing in The Current said something of what I said, that the forgiveness on the part of the families of the victims would help them in their grieving and their healing. I'm not sure what to say, and I don't want to dig into it as much as some of the writers have, but I do hope and pray that this young man will know what a gift he has been given by those family members of some of the victims who have forgiven him. I hope somewhere and pray somewhere in his life it will make a difference. And I hope and pray that these family members of the victims will find that the forgiveness that they have offered will help them in their grieving and in their healing. Forgiveness is a perhaps more powerful gift than we realize if we can be open and let it into our lives. The other gift that is mentioned multi times in Colossians 3 is thanksgiving. And we probably feel we've got this one covered after all. We've got a holiday for Thanksgiving. But I'm not talking about a holiday with a meal and football and shopping. I'm talking about more like what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all things. It's hard to give thanks some of the time. Life is hurting, life is painful, life is uncertain, life does not go as we want. It's difficult and challenging to say those two words to others, to God, whenever, a lot of the time. And yet Paul says, give thanks in all things. And maybe the starting place in giving thanks is not the meal and football and shopping. Maybe it's what Paul says in Colossians, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with gratitude, with thanksgiving. Maybe the key is to give thanks to God for all things in life, for each day in life, for all those circumstances in life, the small circumstances that we overlook, the things we take for granted, the things that we don't expect, the things that we're not sure we like, the people who come into our lives who surprise us, the traffic light that doesn't change to green quite fast enough, but keeps us from getting killed by the driver who runs the light just ahead of us. The job that we don't get, but later find that maybe that in the long run would not have been a good job for our skills and our talents and where we were in life. To give thanks to God is a starting point. To give thanks to God recognizes that God is present with us, that God loves us, embraces us, forgives us as a beloved child no matter what, that God is there always, that God is always at work no matter what is happening, that even though God is intangible, we can put out our hand and somehow know that God is there, that we can listen, and that still small voice of the Spirit of God will speak. To give thanks in all things in life. One of the places I find thanksgiving to be quite profuse is at the soup kitchen. Every so often I have an opportunity to go up to South Park Inn and help serve the meal. And the thanks that come just goes on and on. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the food. God bless you. Thank you for the time. Thank you for being here. One night, Sue and I were on the team that was going, and Sue said, we don't have any fruit. So go get some applesauce. So I did. And we went through all but one of the jars. Now, applesauce is a food we take for granted. We consider it maybe a food for children. But we went through all but one of the jars, and the thanks for that applesauce was amazing. Oreo cookies are another thing. There's just great thanks for the things we take for granted. There is great thanksgiving for. We come once a month and a few other times to a table that has bits of bread and cups on it. Not a banquet by the world's way of thinking, but a banquet in God's eyes. Some of the Christian traditions call this the Eucharist, which comes from the Greek word to give thanks. May we each day, no matter what, take the time and give thanks to God, and then let that thanks overflow to the people around us, to the situations around us, even when we hadn't planned on that, even when we hadn't counted on it. And the last word I want to pick up on is the word that links the two of these, the word giving. We probably don't want to hear about giving. We get, at least I get, lots of things in the mail asking me to give and lots of phone calls that I don't want asking me to give. I do my giving and I don't want people calling me about it necessarily. But giving is important. The world works differently than God works, and I will come back to that phrase again. Our world works by who accumulates, who grabs, who's greedy, who has more than everyone else. We look at the list of those who are wealthy with fascination, especially to see those who live on the Gold Coast in Connecticut. We look at the list of Fortune 500 companies. We look at the list of companies that pay or that have earned more and more. We look at the list of companies. Follow the current in the business section, and they will go through the pay that the CEOs of the insurance companies and the utility companies make in this state. See how much they earn. There's a growing gap between those at the top and what they earn and those who are average workers. There's a growing gap between the top 1% or 5% and the rest of us. The Occupy movement brought that out. There's a growing gap between those who have and those of us who don't have. God doesn't seem to work that way. God seems to be more interested in giving. God is a giving God. God gives us the beauty and bounty of this earth. God gives us our lives, and God gives us especially the priceless gift of Jesus Christ, who comes to love us, forgive us, embrace us as a beloved child of God. God is a giving God, and when Paul in another letter of his says, "Be imitators of God," that includes giving. Sharing, not only our finances and not only our material gifts, but also our spiritual gifts, also our time, our talent, our energy, to give to the world, to give to those in need, to give to the church, to give as best we can, to give back to God and trust that God will do something with it. Absolutely. Jesus says to us, it is more blessed to give than to receive. One of the great world leaders of the first half of the last century, at least that's who the quote is attributed to, said, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." There's truth to that. We make a living by what we get to pay the bills, to put the roof over our head, the food on the table, the car in the garage. We make a life by what we give that embraces other people, that generates relationships, that helps others. We make a life by what we give. Anyone know who that quote's attributed to, by the way? Winston Spencer Churchill. Surprising. And the last quote on giving I want to take is on the front of your bulletin, the prayer of St. Francis. And you can focus on the last three clauses of that prayer, which really teach us what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that God works differently than the way the world works. The last three clauses are fascinating in that prayer. The whole prayer is, but the last three clauses are very powerful. Francis was a wealthy playboy in Assisi in Italy, late 1100s, early 1200s. His father had a booming cloth business, and Francis was his father's top salesperson. And Francis would take his salary and his father's money and gather his young adult friends, and every night they would go out through the streets of Assisi singing and dancing and eating and drinking and having a great time. And Francis bought some weapons and armor and went off to war. Now, there's two versions of this. He either went to fight in the Crusades in the Middle East and didn't leave Italy, turned tail, ran back home, and was branded a coward. Or he was fought in a local war, which is very possible, and was captured, put in a dungeon, eventually released, and came back home. He went back to his father's business. He went back to the eating and drinking and partying, but something was missing this time. And he found himself out in the fields around Assisi more and more, alone, he thought. But was he alone? Someone was there with him. And of course, he encountered God and the risen Christ and the Holy Spirit, and his life was never the same again. He gave up the money, the job, the fine clothing. He lived on what he was given. He shared that with anyone in need, and he gathered a community around him. And he went on his own, finally, to the Middle East to try to make peace. He talked to the European side. He walked into the Arab camp to talk about peace, and the Arab commander was stunned that this single person would come in. No peace was made, but the Arab commander let Francis go and was really, really intrigued with him. Francis, in this prayer, closes it with, "It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in forgiving that we are forgiven. And it is in giving that we receive. It is in giving that we make room in our lives to receive those blessings that God has for us. Material, spiritual, whatever. It is in giving that we receive." In our own giving, there's not only material and financial giving. There's also volunteering, sharing what we have and who we are with the church, with the food bank, with the shelter, in any ways that we can volunteer. And the church gives. The church gives through our mission giving, not only to particular organizations. The church gives through the church's mission giving to the wider United Church of Christ and to the Connecticut Conference of the United Church of Christ, with both of which enable the church to do together far more than we can do alone. This church has just gone through a pastoral search. There's an office in the Cleveland office of the UCC where pastors who are seeking get to put their profiles, where churches who are seeking get to put their profiles. And a lot of coordination goes on there, and there's no charge to any church or any person. It's all out of what we give for OCWM. The area minister comes out, and that's all provided by the Connecticut Conference, who salaries those persons because of what we give through OCWM. You will be hiring a new Christian educator at some point. There's a marvelous person, minister of faith formation, in the Connecticut Conference office, Karen Zeal, who has all kinds of resources available for any church. The only negative thing I can say about Karen is she roots for the wrong baseball team. But Karen is a marvelous person, and she will come to workshops for many churches. One church, she's a great resource person. Vicky will tell you, Victoria will tell you, about a very, very prime resource that the Connecticut Conference owns out in the tucked into the northwest corner of the state called Silver Lake. She spent a week out there. My wife, Sue, has been involved out there for over 50 years. Silver Lake welcomes young people, welcomes adults as volunteers, has non-summer programs as well, and just touches lives in so many, many ways. And no one church in this Connecticut Conference could own something like Silver Lake. We do it because we do it together. Forgiveness, thanksgiving, and giving. They are blessings and gifts from God. May you ponder them. May you reflect on them. May you discover how important they are. And may you be open to the leading and guidance and wisdom of the Spirit in sharing them in your lives each day. In Jesus' name, amen.